It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Hey, my headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
The last Giants-Dodgers series of the year?
Yeah. Man. In San Francisco.
This time a year ago.
It was for real.
That would have been must-see television.
This year?
Not so much.
It's just see television, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the opposite of must-see, just see?
Yeah. If it's on, you watch it, sure. Dodgers are going. Giants are not.
Not a whole lot of other sports on tonight.
Not tonight.
So you might get it. You might get a few eyeballs. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah. Watch your Dodgers.
Yeah.
I haven't checked them out since they clinched. Like, they clinched. Then they really clinched. Yeah. Then they won the division all in 3 days.
That's three straight champagnes.
Actually, I did see them play. Who was it the other night?
Diamondbacks?
Yes.
Yeah, they lost.
And I went, whoa. They're playing quite a few different. Like, they are. I don't know if they're in complete shutdown mode, but I went, I do not recognize some of these Dodgers that are out there.
Jason Ross. The Dodgers have lost two straight games.
Are
they in trouble?
Panic mode?
Yeah, I think so.
Push the button.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, it's right here.
Oh.
Dodger panic mode.
Well, not doing it.
My hand has been over the button for the Yankees for a while.
Now, yeah, the Yankees.
Aaron Judge is entertaining the heck out of me, but other than that, they're just okay.
They're kind of there, right?
They just had such a huge lead. It shrunk. I think they're going to make the playoffs. They're likely going to win the division, but.
You trust them in the playoffs, though?
No.
You don't think they can beat Houston?
That team, even when the Yankees were playing well, that team has been their kryptonite. Houston is really good pitching.
Houston's been everybody's kryptonite.
Yeah.
They're going to win well over 100 games.
Cheaters. No. They're just good.
They probably are cheating.
They're also good. And when they said that, though, like, hey, we're also a good team. Again, both things can be true. They're a good baseball team.
Very
much
so. They did
cheat. They did both. So.
Cheaters.
Last night, did you?
I'm not jaded, though. No, why would I be?
Exactly. No reason to be at all.
Nah.
By the way, we had a few people texting. Oh, I just missed in on Smashburger. We got more opportunities today.
Oh, yeah. We're blowing them out today,
each
folks.
Hour. So you're going to get another chance. So thank you for listening and participating. Friday Fun and Games coming up. We got a lot more to get to. Greg Papa, 1 hour from now. Later this hour, get your fantasy questions in for Dave Richard. Last night, did you watch on Amazon Prime?
I watched the first half because the second half I was at my cousin's volleyball game.
Okay.
Not volleyball, I'm sorry, water polo.
Wow.
And
you were way off.
No, they both have a ball.
Okay, now.
And I'm sorry.
Yes.
Anyway, so no, I did watch the first half on Amazon Prime.
And no issues
though.
Getting on there?
No, I'm... Really?
Well, no, some actually...
Do you think I was going to boom it out?
No, but I did see a couple of people who
insulting
I was...
Insulting Jason.
No, I was bringing that up because, again, look at second screen sometimes, Twitter, sure. People are like, oh, mine's delayed or my audio is off. And I went,
fix your internet, folks.
Yeah, mine was fine,
yeah.
But I also did... I left the game on. I didn't pause, didn't rewind, because I know when the Niners play the Texans in the preseason, I think it was literally...
And I watched that game.
Aaron Judge is coming up. And I went over to baseball, saw Aaron Judge, and I'm like... Oh, man, sign in, blah, blah, not sign in, but you just have to go through the whole routine. Like, that's something I wish that could be fixed.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're on the game, I just left it on.
That's the nice part about cable or satellite is that last button on your remote where you just flip back and forth.
Yeah,
not a thing in the stream wars yet.
No. Al Michaels is great. I like Kirk Herbstreit. I think the whole thing, the package, looked like Thursday Night Football to me.
Yeah, it felt fine. I think the biggest complaint I saw some people say was, like, energy. And I'm like, this sounds like every other Al Michaels broadcast. Yeah. Also, Al Michaels is 144 years old.
Yeah, I guess that's preference, right?
Did you think there was anything wrong with the energy of the broadcast?
Not at all. I thought there was incredible energy in the stadium. And then there was times where, like, wow, the Chargers are shutting these guys up.
Thought Kirk Herbstreit did a great job. Not that I didn't think he was going to. And I saw a lot of criticism of him in the Niners-Texans game.
Yeah.
Dude, you have two guys that have never worked with each other. Can you give them more than a quarter to develop some chemistry?
And, you know, I've heard the complaint. Well, he's a college guy. I don't even know what that means. He knows football.
That means he knows everybody that's playing.
Yeah.
And
he's
by
known
the way,
him and knows their background and knows some things about them.
I'm pretty sure you can transition from focusing on college football to the NFL football when you're a talented broadcaster like Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, and you can tell he prepares and does
pretty
his work.
Seamlessly. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue.
And honestly, I mean, some of it's preference, like... You talk about energy, like Gus Johnson's a screamer.
Yeah, I can't stand Gus Johnson.
Okay, perfect example. Some people love him. Give me Gus Johnson.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. And you're not wrong. They're not right. It's just, it's personal preference.
Yeah, the only time it's not personal preference and it's just someone's wrong is when they like Chris Collinsworth. But other than that,
I do not understand you and Chris Collinsworth.
I'm Chris Collinsworth, and I look at me, everybody. I'm on a TV, and I played football, and I'm going to tell you every single play. Oh, I used to be a wide receiver.
He doesn't say that much.
And my head's on a swivel.
Wow.
Can't stand Chris Collinsworth.
If the world got him with Joe Buck,
oh
just,
God. But you think I'm not a Joe Buck hater.
Good,
I don't
thank
like,
you.
I don't
hate Chris Collinsworth
no,
at all.
I have no feelings towards Joe Buck. I think he's a good broadcaster.
Right.
I don't know if there's a play-by-play guy that, as a broadcaster, I just truly can't stand.
Yeah, I thought the broadcast was good. I thought the game was great.
Analyst, though, I'm a little different.
Well, I think, honestly, my own personal opinion, I think television sports is made for the analyst.
I agree.
It really is.
But a good play-by-play guy can really get your attention, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep you engaged.
Can lift you up, can highlight the game. But a lot of it's replay and breakdown, and this is why it worked, this is why it didn't, this was a good call, this was a bad call.
Oh, yeah, you see that rowdy run right there. In 86, we were playing the Niners, and I took a similar route, and I caught
the
ball from Boomer.
When was the last time he did when I played?
I don't know. I usually mute him.
Wow.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. So,
Leland in the chat agrees with me. He's the worst. Collinsworth
really?
Sucks.
Okay.
That's completely objective.
Yeah. Yeah. So the game, it flipped on a couple of different things. I thought the Chargers first half lead, maybe, I don't know if it should have been more. The Chiefs offense couldn't find its groove. So the Chargers were ahead at half. What the Chargers did beautifully though was score the first touchdown of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's 17-7. They've won twice in a row at Arrowhead and you're thinking, boy, not many teams can crack the code of the Chiefs. Do they have something figured out here? 17-7. And then Mahomes throws what I thought was an interception. They reviewed it. They overturned it. I'm still not certain.
I've seen a lot of debate on this call.
Yeah, and that's the one.
I'm with you on the interception. I get it.
I would have overturned it.
I would. Well, that's just it, right? To me, there was not enough evidence there to overturn that call. I can get where it like hit the ground, but that
hand is under it.
Underneath it seemed like he had control.
That's the way I would word it. It's like the ground is there because of, I mean, basically it's gravity. He's going to the ground. I don't think it helped him catch the ball.
No.
His hand was under there. I don't think there was any scenario where he was going to lose it. I don't. Now, maybe that's the maybe I'm doing too much interpretation, and they just said literally part of the football hit the ground. So if that's the case, letter of the law,
yeah,
then incomplete.
Right. If that's the rule, then that's the rule. But I really felt like he had possession of that ball.
I did too. And so now it's 17-7 with the ball in field position to score again. I don't know if it's lights out, but the Chiefs really aren't moving the ball. So that was a huge play. After the Chiefs kind of get some momentum, get the game going, here was then the game's biggest play.
Chargers go without a huddle again. Right side, trying to intercept it on the left side. Picked off at the goal line, at the 25-yard line. Picked off by Watson. Watson could go all the way. The seventh round pick, 20, 15, 10, 5. Jalen Watson cooking hamburgers in Augusta, Georgia. Then he went to Wazoo, and now he gets a 100-yard pick six for a touchdown. Kansas City at 10:29 to go in the game.
I don't know about you, but he stole the words out of my mouth.
Wow.
What did that – what?
As someone that does play-by-play, tries to do it as well as I possibly can, I feel like Mitch is great.
He's terrific. He's one of the best in the game.
I think it was like, hey, I've studied. I've prepared.
Yeah.
Let me get all the information I have in this call. Like, if he had done everything he did, omit, like, clip out, and then touchdown Kansas City, take out the Augusta. Like, that's an add-on later.
Like, that's what I'm saying, because I'm like, I don't know this much about Watson.
Right.
So I'm sure you do, Mitch. But there wasn't really an explainer to go along with that, so I just heard, I was like,
burgers.
What?
What are we doing?
Wait,
did he score?
Did he work at Burger King? Is he still working at Burger King?
Yeah.
Where did this happen?
Where did this
happen? Did he get a $50 Smash Burger gift card from us?
He should have. Great play. Great flawed play in the sense from the Chargers. Everett, who ran the route, just a poor route. He had just had the great play before, was carrying defenders, an exhausting play. They went right back to him, and you see the replay. It's like he didn't even fully execute his route. He didn't even run it. He was spent.
That's one of those scenarios last night where I'm like, wow, they really miss Keenan Allen right now.
Yes.
Really miss Keenan Allen.
And Mike Williams got off to a good start, but they did miss Keenan Allen. And then here was the worst-case scenario for the Chargers, in which Justin Herbert certainly got hurt, got banged up, and that just looked scary. It looked awful. And to his credit, no one's questioning toughness, Jay, but that's your franchise.
Yep.
And we brought it up earlier. I personally, if I was the decision maker, I was head coach, I would have taken him out. To his credit, he threw the most amazing fourth down pass after that, led him to a touchdown. Could have still won the game if they got the onside kick. They didn't. I hope he's not out for any kind of time because that guy's
a
stud.
He is spectacular. And I said earlier in the show, I'll say it again, I didn't really buy into a lot of the preseason hype that Justin Herbert was going to be in the MVP conversation. I'm like, dude's going into year three. He hasn't even been to the playoffs yet. Let's chill on that. After last night, especially watching him again, after taking that hit, and he was clearly like hurt. Like he wasn't just banged up a little bit. He was hurt. He sat out one play. To your point, comes back in, leads them down, gets that touchdown. I'm like, okay, I am starting to buy in to Justin Herbert being into the MVP race in week two.
I'm starting
to buy in. Not saying it's going to be him, but I'm buying into him being in the race.
The element of that, the positive of what Herbert did, much like when a coach, his own coach, Brandon Staley, goes for more fourth downs than most coaches, it builds confidence. It can, at least if the team supports you. I don't think anybody questioned Herbert's toughness, but that locker room's like, that's my dude.
If he hadn't won over every single player in that locker room, he did it last night.
Yeah, he definitely did. Chargers have a great future ahead. They didn't get yesterday. Chiefs get to 2-0. Chargers now 1-1. The rest of the weekend's coming up. You got an upset? We've got ours, and 3 for Madness coming up in 90 seconds.
You ask for more 49ers coverage, and Sacktown Sports 1140 listen.
Let's go, Niner Gang!
Get all the latest 49ers news and notes online at SacktownSports.com. Plus, make sure to follow us on IG at Sacktown1140 for Emil Fragoso's live post-game show following every game.
That is what we expect out of the Niner Gang.
Niners win!
Your home for the most 49ers coverage in Sacramento.
Sacktown Sports 1140. Three questions, three answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
Hey, that's us. Carmichael Dave off today. He's back next week. Jason Ross, Jay Mars here on this 916 day. Happy 916, Jay.
Yeah, happy 916 day to you too as well. How are you celebrating tonight?
916. Don't you have to say 916?
You don't have to.
Well, it just doesn't have the same ring. Do you say your area code is 916?
Sometimes. I like to be different. I'm a trendsetter.
Have you ever had someone tell you the phone number in the... Like, there's a cadence to it. 916, like we do, call the show. 1-800-920-1140.
It's always in the 916 cadence. Every time.
But if someone did, like, 916-46...
See, you still did the cadence.
No, I know, but what if they changed it where you go 916-46-28-361?
No,
nobody says a phone number that way.
No, I've never talked to a serial killer, Jason, so I can't say I have.
That you know of.
That's true.
That you know of. All right, it is time for 3 for Madness.
Also,
what do you
Chris
have?
Collinsworth drinks Cosmopolitans.
Oh, gosh. You know what? Don't make me do this. You are going to get a cameo.
You want to go there? We can blow up the show right now.
We already have one targeted for Dave. I mean, I'm thinking of stuff from Chris Collinsworth to send to you.
It's all good when USC's Pete Carroll sends you one. Yeah. You want to play that game?
Never mind, Jay. Never mind.
Pick an underdog to win this weekend in the NFL.
I have never disliked you, but you just, our relationship just changed.
You.
It just changed.
You literally wanted to send me someone's head on a swivel via the phone. It's fine.
What was question one?
Pick an underdog in the NFL this weekend.
We will have picks with Michelle Dapper later in the show, which we were just amazing. If you didn't hear the segment, don't go back and listen to Verify, because we got them all right.
Yep, totally.
So we need someone that's an underdog. This one isn't like the most amazing underdog because there's some 10-point dogs this week that, nope, I don't see it. I'm a big fan of this team to be good this year and to win their division, but I'm picking against them. It's a Monday night. By the way, we have two Monday nights this week. Two.
One of them will be on the Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, but I mean two games. Like,
right,
usually
yeah.
It's week one.
We're giving you the good game.
Yeah.
We got Titans and Bills Monday at 4.
Okay. I'm picking, because we couldn't air both. They're only separated by about an hour.
At the same time.
I'm picking the Vikings to win on the road against Philadelphia. Not
like that pick.
Whopping upset. Vikings are 2-point underdogs. I'm a big fan, like I said, of the Eagles. I still think as a long shot MVP, watch Jalen Hurts, because I think they're going to win the division. I think he's going to – he had a really good week one.
Yeah.
I think that offense will be good. He is a candidate there. But my upset would be the Minnesota Vikings this week to go to 2-0.
You know what? I'm going to shoot for the stars this week.
Oh, who do you got?
Sunday night football.
Oh, I know where you're going there.
I think there's some issues going on in Green Bay with Rodgers and that team. Did things on the sidelines just did not look very kosher last weekend.
Well, he's saying relax. And the Bears would be 2-0?
I'm saying the Bears got a little confidence going into Lambeau. It's 10.
Whoa.
It's a huge spread.
Okay.
Give me Justin Fields and the Bears over the Packers. To win the football game.
That is bold.
Just say, why not?
Yeah.
Feeling a little bold. Now, we'll probably come back in on Monday, and the Packers will have won by 21 points.
Well,
but
you know what's great about that is if it does happen, your guy Chris Collinsworth will be describing it.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just see that on the field? You know what? You know what? I might actually suit up. I think I could play better than the Packers receivers right now. Then me and Aaron can go out and drink Cosmos together. I don't think Aaron's ever had a Cosmo. I think if I, Chris Collinsworth, were to introduce Aaron Rodgers to the Cosmopolitan, it'll make him a better quarterback. You know how I know that? Because I'm Chris Collinsworth.
The worst. Question
He two. Is the worst. Finally,
no,
you come around.
That impression's the worst. Question two.
Question two.
Will we be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo on Monday?
Okay. Let's see. Three scenarios for that. One is Trey Lance got hurt.
Right.
Which nobody's rooting for that. That's awful. Two, Trey Lance is really bad.
Yep.
Possible. The first one's possible. The second one's definitely possible. The third scenario, Jay, would be Dak-type injury. Insert team, prominent playoff-type team, quarterback gets hurt. That's another reason. Hey, Jimmy G, should the Niners talk to this team because their quarterback got hurt? So all three things are likely. I don't want him to be mentioned.
No.
Not. I have nothing against Jimmy G. I actually think it's a good situation the Niners are in. But this is more for Trey Lance. Trey Lance
exactly.
needs to have a game where you go, I see it. I see what the Niners see. And I think we all see it, but it needs to be on display for longer than a play, a series, a quarter where we go, he's not going to be perfect on Sunday. But you go, that guy took command of the huddle. That guy made some plays. He threw a pick. That's fine. But he threw for X amount of yards, ran the offense, led the team to a win. That's our quarterback.
Jason, I think it is 100% inevitable, no matter the outcome of the game.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G will be mentioned. Here's why. By the way, 76% chance, I believe, rain in Santa Clara on Sunday during the game. So we're going to have Trey Lance playing a second straight rain game. So what's going to happen? If they win, you're going to have the anti-Jimmy G crowd come out like, see, we told you, Trey.
Yeah.
Why were you guys talking about Jimmy coming in last week to win the game? It was an entree. If Trey plays bad, Jimmy, this is 2 weeks in a row that if you would have put Jimmy in, the 49ers would have won. Jason, it's inevitable. Monday, we are talking about Jimmy Garoppolo in something.
So that story's not going away.
That story is going to be a story all season.
Man.
That will be a story in week 17.
If Trey has six great weeks in a row and we're like, yeah, he's the dude.
Yes, because then it's going to come about like, man, should we have played Trey last year? Should they have? Jason, it is just so inevitable at this point.
But I still think, even with all that, like it's noise for us. It's probably noise for them. I think that's a good situation, though. That's better depth. That's a good backup quarterback.
I agree. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying as, like you, I want to get to where it's just, yeah, that's the backup quarterback.
Right.
He's not a storyline at all unless he has to get in the game because Trey's hurt.
Yeah, we're not there yet. All right, question three.
Question three.
All right. These are always my favorite. Miami Vice debuted on this date. 9/16/1984.
Yeah,
Sacramento Vice.
Yeah.
With Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett and Tubbs.
As undercover detectives, what is your favorite buddy cop TV show or movie?
Well, here's one that was both. They turned it into a movie. I like the movie Starsky and Hutch.
Okay,
with Ben Stiller.
Never saw either.
Owen Wilson?
I think so.
Owen Wilson.
It's not Zach Wilson.
Wow. It's Owen Wilson. Let's see. This wouldn't be the name of the show, but Ponch and John, old school Chips.
Oh, Chips.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Chips come on, and as a small child, it would come on after cartoons and being very angry at that.
That because it replaced the cartoons?
You got it.
So you didn't stick with watching
Did
Chips?
Not.
Oh, man. Come on. How about you? Any buddy cop TV / movie characters that are your favorite?
Do you count the 21 Jump Street movie?
That was a fun movie.
Okay.
Those two guys are hilarious.
So I enjoyed the original one.
And 22 Jump Street was good, too.
What is the movie with Will Ferrell and Mark?
The other guy.
I loved the other guys.
And the beginning, the first 10 minutes or so with The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And then this is a kind of a deep cut. Maybe you early 90s children will remember this one. Kindergarten Cop.
Fabulous.
With Arnold.
Yes. Arnold and Danny DeVito. No, yeah, that's twins.
Yeah, that's twins. And they were cops.
Who was his partner?
His partner was, I forget her name, but she was the original undercover school teacher.
Right.
And then
Penelope
she got
Ann Miller.
Sick. Yes, yep. Penelope. No, Penelope Ann Miller is the love interest in that movie. He has a cop friend.
Yeah, she's sick in bed.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Simone.
Simone has my back. Kindergarten Cop, saw it in the theater when I was
it's
like five.
It's not a tumor.
So Penelope Ann Miller, you're right, is the
love interest of Arnold.
All right. So the internet. We'll figure that one out.
You've seen Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
It's a terrific flick.
Yeah. Penelope Ann Miller. Where's she been?
Home.
Okay. We all need help with fantasy football.
Yes.
At least I'm speaking for myself. Three leagues. I
told you, I'm a stinker this year.
Lost them all. Dave Richard, our fantasy football expert.
Lose all three.
Skill.
And then your picks.
The picks. Survivor, I survived.
One for you.
Yes. That's why there's week two, and you look forward to it. If you've got questions, people to start, sit, all that, let us know. We'll try to pepper those into Dave Richard. He joins us next.
Check out the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Get the latest on equipment, area courses, people that play the great game, and plenty of good conversations about golf.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa
every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. And the Fortinet PGA Golf Championship, September 15th through the 18th at the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa.
Fantasy Friday, fool!
It's time for fantasy football.
Are you kidding me?
It's time for fantasy football.
He's a fantasy football cheat code.
It's time to set your lineups with CBS Sports' Dave Richard.
That's right. It's that time on this Friday. Jason Ross, Jay Mars, Carmichael Dave is off today, but he's never off. He's always with us. That is Dave Richard. He is ready to help us all out, one and all. Dave, happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday to you, gentlemen. And I'll tell you what, that intro was amazing. It is not lost on me. I've never heard that intro before when I've come on with Dave. And I've been on the air with Dave for maybe a decade.
Yes.
And so, like, the one time he's not around, you've got this intro. It just tells me who wears the pants on this show.
That's exactly.
And, I think I got to start talking to you guys more and a lot less to Dave.
We all agree.
All I will say is thank you, Dave, and those pants are a 34-30.
I'm going to start here with you, Dave.
Sorry, Jason, too much info.
Yeah, it was a little too much info, but I enjoy. I was just picturing the whole dynamic there. Anyway, Dave, professional question on this realm. I was telling Jay here before we went to break, I'm in three leagues. I went 0-3. I'm not too bitter about that. Anyway, where do you stand on just the way leagues are run? Because personally, we all know this could happen. Hey, I went against head-to-head, the highest score in the league and lost. I was going to lose to beat everybody else and that, so on and so forth. Do you prefer head-to-head or overall point totals? What is your ideal run fantasy league?
Oh, head-to-head is way more fun, especially when you're playing against somebody who you got to beat, your brother, a cousin, a coworker, especially like a coworker that you don't really like. You end up getting into like you guys against Dave. Like,
yes.
I know you guys love Dave. Everybody does, but me. And when you play him in fantasy, don't you want to just a little extra motivation to make all the right moves in your lineup so you can kick his tush?
Absolutely.
I think that I that's what it's all about for me. Whereas if you play with this total point stuff, okay, I hope I outscore Dave this week, but it's not the same feel. And so I'm a big fan of head-to-head. And with that comes the potential of I might score the second most points of the week, and this happened to me just this past week, but I'll run into the team that scored the most points. And that stinks, but it also happens where you score the second lowest point in the league 1 week, and you play the team that scored the lowest points, and you win. So it swings both ways. You accept that as a fantasy manager, and you love the head-to-head.
Dave Richard from CBS Sports joining us. Dave, I want to go look at the Rams real quick. Not a good game for Matt Stafford last week. We only saw 3 carries out of Cam Akers, 1 reception for Allen Robinson. What's going to be up with the Rams this weekend?
I'm expecting a nice bounce back overall for the Rams, but they still, the same issues that they had in that game, Jay, they're going to have it again this week. The offensive line, big question mark. They lost center Brian Allen. He's not going to play anytime in the next 4 weeks. It's just an easier matchup. That Bills defense is really good. Their pass rush is really good. Now they've got the Falcons. Falcons pass rush, not nearly as good. I think that defense is beatable. I think the Rams scheme around their problems a little bit more. And I think what they need to do with Allen Robinson is A, throw him the ball more, and B, shorten his routes. Let him be more of an intermediate and short area target. Let him make those plays, those contested catches. He was still getting open. I think they've got to lean on him for that. So you look for him to get maybe 5-6 catches this week, and I think he'll be fine. He's got a chance to score a touchdown. Use him as at least a flex in fantasy. Cam Akers is the one that I think you just can't trust. And I think trust is the issue right now between Akers and Stafford and Akers and McVay. The fact that he blew a pass protection assignment last week, the fact that he doesn't look efficient as a runner, I'm nervous to use him in fantasy until I start to see him develop and play a little bit better. And then once that happens, you're going to see McVay hit the accelerator and go right to Akers. But I'm not sure if that happens, much less when that happens, which is why Darrell Henderson is a start for me as a top 15 running back this week.
Dave Richard joining us. Again, you have questions, 916-339-1140. You can text him in there. Dave, 49ers lost the game, didn't look that dynamic offensively. Lose Elijah Mitchell. I know you rank each position. Who are the highest-ranked Niners as maybe, I would say, must-plays or must-sits this week?
The highest-ranked wide receiver is Deebo Samuel. The highest-ranked running back is Deebo Samuel. The highest-ranked 49ers player is Deebo Samuel. Yeah. Look, he's going to be a huge part of this offense now without Elijah Mitchell there. And the proof of that was last year. The proof of that is what happened in week one. But I kind of want to give the 49ers a pass for everything that happened in that game. There was rain, the conditions, but the field conditions were terrible. And they were especially bad in the fourth quarter. And that's when this offense looked at its worst was then, because there was no Mitchell. Everybody was getting moved around. And Trey Lance couldn't complete a pass if there was no defense there. It was that bad. I think Lance made some good decisions with the football. He missed a couple of targets, the throw to Tyler Croft when he was wide open. That's the glaring example. But he also made a lot of nice throws. The deep catch to Brandon Ayuk was a great play. If the conditions were great this week in San Francisco, I'd kind of start Trey Lance. I kind of like the matchup a lot more. It's a great spot for the 49ers because the Seahawks played on Monday. It was an emotional victory for them. They played 66 snaps on defense. They lost Jamal Adams, and now they're on the road on a short week. But the forecast says rain on Sunday, guys. Yeah. You got to get to the beach on Saturday, I guess, to salvage your weekend. But if it's going to rain all over again in San Francisco, or Santa Clara, I should say, on Sunday, then it puts a damper, literally, on the expectations for everybody outside of Deebo Samuel. Look for Jeff Wilson to have a pretty good game. Still available on the waiver wire in a handful of leagues. But he's the one who will benefit the most from what's going on with the Seahawks defense coming into the game.
CBS Sports' is Dave Richard joining us. Dave, obviously Dak Prescott going down for the Cowboys, a huge deal. How do you see that impacting the overall offense and the fantasy players that most teams or most guys have on inside their teams?
It's the biggest problem the Cowboys offense has, but the second biggest is that they lost yet another starting offensive lineman. That's 2 now to begin the season, and that doesn't count losing Lyle Collins this offseason. So they're really in dire straits on that line, and they're taking on a Bengals defense that pleasantly surprised me against the Steelers in week one. I think you got to be nervous about everybody in Dallas right now. Cooper Rush is going to probably get a lot of easy throws, scheme them up a little bit, and hopefully he targets a lot of CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz. Those guys you'll start without much fanfare. I think they're like, you downgrade expectations for both of them, but they're both starters. That's really what I should have said. Ezekiel Elliott, we're definitely downgrading expectations for him. Don't love the matchup for him. He's a flex at best, and Pollard's got to sit on the bench for a while. Cooper Rush, a low-end play in 2 quarterback leagues.
Dave, a couple from our text line. Starter sit, Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb?
So this is a great example. I think that CeeDee Lamb in PPR is probably a better start than Jerry Jeudy, but I think it's close between those two. So I'll go with Lamb, but I wouldn't blame you for going with Judy because his speed was obvious against Seattle, and so he could get any kind of slant pass over the middle and potentially take it to the house, and it's an easier matchup for him against Houston. I'm just expecting volume to be there for Lamb. But in a non-PPR league, I think you can make the case for Judy. It really just depends on your scoring.
Well, this may help the next question we got. In a PPR league, need two wide receivers. They've got CeeDee Lamb, Michael Thomas, Ayuk, DJ Chark, or Allen Robinson. So two of those.
I'm going to stick with Lamb here too, and I'll pair him with DJ Moore. And I know Moore was a big disappointment, and people are freaking out about it. Don't do that. He's going to bounce back and have a good game. It could come this week. It might happen next week for him. So keep DJ Moore in lineups, and I think CeeDee Lamb in this case is better. I would trust him ahead of Allen Robinson.
Dave, are you seeing a huge weekend for Raiders receivers, namely Waller and Adams?
Pretty much. The Cardinals defense was one we identified before the season as being on the downside. Not only did they, you know, have all kinds of issues at cornerback, but they lost their best pass rusher. Chandler Jones now on the team that they're going to play in the Raiders. This is a great matchup for the Raiders, and I would expect Derek Carr to have a big game. You're starting Adams. You're starting Waller. Even Hunter Renfrow should get in on the action. I don't mind him as a PPR flex play, and Josh Jacobs should get more carries and do just as well with them as he did in week one, just gets more volume with it in this matchup against Arizona in week two.
Is there a player on your quarterback, running back, receiver list that is abnormally high ranked this week? Like you go, hey, if you've got this one, maybe you'd never play them. This is the week to play them.
So Derek Carr would be one of those guys for me at quarterback. Carson Wentz would be another. Both of them ranked ahead of Tom Brady. Because
wow.
We don't know who's going to be healthy for Tom Brady to throw to. And the matchup against New Orleans has been a nightmare for him, and his offensive line is going through some issues. So Brady's somebody that I'm trying to get away from him a little bit. I think that he's going to be somebody who struggles. And then running back, kind of the same thing. I mentioned Darrell Henderson. He's a top 15 player for me. People drafted Miles Sanders outside of the first five rounds. He's a top 20 running back for me this week. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think a tough matchup against the Rams. I think he keeps it hot this week. And then let me just, you didn't ask about tight ends, but I'm going to sprinkle them in. Logan Thomas is available in, I want to say 40 or so percent of CBS Sports leagues. That probably means he's even more available on other websites. Love that he played 60% of the snaps in his first game back. He wasn't even practicing 3 weeks ago. Now here he is being a factor for the Commanders offense. And Carson Wentz has a very detailed track record of leaning on his tight ends and leaning on his big body targets. Thomas is going to be that guy. He's taking on the Lions this week. I am stashing Logan Thomas, tight end, for the Washington Commanders in as many leagues as I possibly can.
It's great info. Each and every Friday, 7:30, we get Dave Richard. Dave, after this, where else can people find you?
I'm going to be on CBS Sports HQ starting at 9 a.m. your time, going over the slate in week five. Did I just say week five? I don't know why I said week five.
Well, you will at some point.
What week is it, guys? I lose track of it. It's week two. We're going to go through the entire matchup. We've got start sits for every game that's left in week two and in week five. No, just kidding. It's week two. DFS plays, player props. Who better than fantasy guys to tell you who to use in player props to help you win a little extra money to help pay for those fantasy leagues that you got into? It starts at 9 a.m. It's on CBSSportsHQ.com. The name of the show, Fantasy Football Today. You'll watch it. You'll love it.
Awesome. Dave, we appreciate it each and every week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it, guys. Good luck in your leagues.
All right, thank you. That's the great Dave Richard joining us from CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, and check out his show starting at 9. When we come back, Jay brought up the Raiders. Dave, very high in the connection they can have this week offensively. They've got to win. They don't want to start 0-2. The impact of that, their home opener, we can discuss the Raiders when we come back.
You want more Kings coverage?
Sacktown Sports 1140 is giving it to you.
I like the Monk deal a lot, the Kevin Herter one. You got control of a guy who, around the league, people still think he's a pretty good player.
Impressions, let's start with the Kings' top pick, Keegan Murray. What do you think of him? And you obviously knew him well at Iowa.
Yeah, I thought he was terrific. I called efficient and versatile. He's going to make shots. He's an elite jump shooter.
Log on to SacktownSports.com for exclusive content.
SacktownSports.com.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Text or call the show at 916-339-1140 on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Chris Collinsworth eats his chicken tenders with a fork.
You've created a monster. Leezy says, I hope Chris Collinsworth loses all his fantasy leagues. By the way, what's wrong with eating your chicken tenders with a fork?
And knife?
What's wrong?
What's right?
Goes down the same way. Enjoyed the same way.
So why not use your hand?
It's a it's
a finger food.
It
the
is.
The reason it's called a finger food is you use your fingers.
What if it's dripped in barbecue?
Hey, man, that's what napkins and wet wipes are for, bro.
Okay. Have you
quit
you
defending Chris Collinsworth?
What's wrong? I think he's fine. He's good. He is good. He is a good broadcaster.
I bet you if you spent the day with him, you'd feel otherwise.
I think you would, too. You just have hate and venom for this man who is...
Hate's the wrong word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a professional disdain.
Okay. Thanks again to Dave Richard for joining us. We're a moments away from the great Greg Papa joining us here. He'll join us at the top of the hour every Friday, 8 o'clock. Get the very latest of what the 49ers have situated for them this week. And really that injury for Seattle and Jamal Adams, I think it's going to be a big deal. Hopefully the Niners can take advantage of that. Dave Richard, very excited about the potential of Trey Lance this week. Now, the weather will be a story, so we'll get into that. As far as the Raiders go.
I was going to say, with the weather, though, real quick, it'll be wet. It won't be Chicago.
No, that was just a downpour. And again, as the game went, like the moment the Bears took the lead, it got worse. It's almost like, hey, let's turn it up now.
Yep.
And make it really hard for the Niners to move, and then just dump on the field.
Thanks a lot, Chicago Bear God.
Yeah. By the way, it was
who is the Chicago Bear God? Is it?
I don't know. They talk about the hawk, you know, the weather that's just out there. It just turns with the wind. It was like 75 midweek. It was beautiful in Chicago last
week.
Yeah,
I know. And then, Sunday. Then Bear God Rex Grossman decided to make it gross. I'm on fire.
We need to do Saturday and Sunday because this week can't end with you.
I'm drinking to myself.
I think you are. What's in that? What's in that magic drink?
Caffeine.
The Raiders
this
week. They have, again, we talked about the Niners need to win. The Raiders need to win. If they think they're going to support last year's very good season, and last year's season was impressive what the Raiders navigated through because they had a mess. They had a mess off the field that most teams, almost every team, didn't have to go through. And there's always stuff for every team, but this stuff was very public. And it's with your head coach, with a player that, I mean, in a sense, there was a murder. Driving and killing someone. Horrific situation.
And I hate to put this on there, but you have to say it from just a football perspective. This was a first-round pick that you had high hopes on.
Absolutely. They're thinking Henry Ruggs is a part of this team for years to come. And if he's not, then you dealt him for something that helps your team. So he was an asset that now his life changed, and he changed other people's lives forever. And so they had to go through that. They still found their way in a game. They had to win the last week, and they did. They made the playoffs. Played the Bengals in the postseason okay. They weren't great, but they had a chance to win. Ultimately lost. And then last weekend, I thought the Raiders were also just okay. They were self-inflicted wounds with Carr, but they had a chance to win the game.
But that's why I felt really good going into this week for them. Number one, the Cardinals defense is, as Dave kind of pointed out, that defense sucks.
Yes.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes made mincemeat out of them last week. But it was more so the idea that, Jason, they were in the game despite the one guy I didn't think would struggling.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going to see a 3-interception game from Derek Carr again this season, probably. So the fact that they had the weapons around him, the defense played well enough to keep them in the game with your leader, the guy who I think is most responsible from a player standpoint, last season driving you to the playoffs, I actually felt really good about the Raiders in that loss.
Yeah, here was Carr kind of explaining that day. Three picks, it was a career high for him. Here is his breakdown of his performance Sunday.
We played, we did too many good things. I was way too aggressive. I came in with a very aggressive mindset and, you know, especially with all the weapons we have and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's on me. That's decisions, being way too aggressive in certain moments. And on the one to Tay in the end zone, he beat his guy. I went through it and the guy, just as I threw it, fell off of the other. I mean, that kind of crap is going to happen sometimes. But I can make a better throw, maybe try and be better there. But I think we showed signs of doing some stuff really well. But that's on me. Whenever I'm trying to be too aggressive, force it to Waller down the middle. You know, trying to bomb it to Tay. You know, Hunter trying to jam it in there to him for a couple yards. I mean, just throw it away. You know, and that's stuff that I will learn from him. I'll do better for our team.
You know what's amazing about the position of quarterback? Mm-hmm. To defend quarterbacks here and even Carr, I saw what he saw on the pass he threw deep over the middle to Waller. And there's a window. It's small. Last night, the throw that Herbert makes when he's hurt to DeAndre Carter. That window, I don't even know if it's...
it wasn't a window, it was a shoebox.
Yeah, it was honestly like an inch. And it was gorgeous. But I don't know that he should have thrown it. It worked. It's such
There's
a finite...
There's certain quarterbacks, though, right, where you're like, they get the autonomy to make that decision.
True. And I think Carr's there. It's
For
just
sure.
And what's exciting, too, is I think Carr Adams is going to be great. It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can rely on that... Now, the thing is, we make assessments on teams. We think the Raiders will be good. I do. I think they'll be good.
I think they'll be good.
The Cardinals' defense, as you pointed out, Jay, was awful. But here's the comments they're making after the game. So they were embarrassed. They got worked by the Chiefs. So you know they're going to lock in there. Here's Cliff Kingsbury after their loss.
Practice habits, you know, having a sense of urgency, we got to practice better. There's no doubt you can't say you're going to do it on game day and not do it in practice.
I mean, it's almost like they're going to strip this down and like start over and like, okay, we are going to be better. And again, they were a playoff team a year ago, so they got embarrassed. I expect a better performance from them. I just don't know how much better.
Jason, they were a playoff team, but they were a playoff team because of the first half of the season
last
year. They fizzled so bad, and they looked – last week they looked like the team we saw in the second half last year, just disoriented on defense. And now you're going into a situation where I want to point out this happened at home last week for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You're going into Las Vegas, which was a really good environment, I felt, for the Raiders last Sunday. It's going to be a big environment again. You have Derek Carr. Like I said it. He said it. I think he just got overzealous last week, and he's going to settle down. He's not going to force those passes like he did into Waller. He's not going to do stuff like that. I think Derek Carr is going to be the cerebral guy that we know Derek Carr is. I just think he's going to pick the Cardinals apart.
Yeah.
Right? And I really think, going forward, I think the clock is ticking on Cliff Kingsbury.
I believe that. And I think the other part, too, each week gets us more information on these teams. We have opinions. We think we know about teams. And then each week gives you a little bit more, like, fact-finding stuff. Second performance now by the Chargers defense last night. I went, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good.
And they really bothered Mahomes for a lot of the game. The game flipped, as we said earlier, in a couple plays. So if that's the offense, the defense the Raiders had to face, Chargers are good. So, you know, you got to believe the Cardinals, it'll be easier for the Raiders offensively, limit the mistakes. I think there's a good shot to get out of this 1-1.
Yeah, and most of the predictions right now, again, we're going to be doing our pick-ems coming up around 8:27 with Michelle Dapper from KCRA3. Most of these that I looked in they have the Raiders blowing out the Cardinals. And I think I just don't see anywhere. And the line's not a blowout, but again, the predictions are like this should be the Raiders' first win of the season. And the only thing that can scare you is possibly, you know, coming off of that Chargers game, overlooking the Cardinals.
Right.
But I think there's enough vets on this team now, especially on the offensive end. When you talk about those guys like Waller, Devontae Adams has been there. Derek Carr has obviously been there. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, again, way too early, but I felt this going into the year and I feel it as much now. I think the AFC is just better.
Oh, it's way better.
Like considerably better, especially the elite of the AFC.
It's stacked.
The NFC they'll get a 13-win team there. It might be Tampa. It might still end up being Green Bay. But top to bottom, I mean, there's just way better quarterbacks in the AFC, like top to bottom. It's going to be a grind. It'll be a good football team or two that's left out in the AFC.
Other than the South, I think the AFC South is probably the worst of the four divisions there. But I still think the Colts, despite what happened last weekend against the Texans, they're going to figure it out. So, yeah, no, it's actually one of those scenarios where it makes sense that they have seven playoff teams now because it is going to allow a really good team in the AFC to get in. On the contrary, I think it's going to allow a mediocre team in the NFC to get in just because I agree with you. I think the AFC – especially up top, I don't even think it's particularly close how stacked the AFC is compared to the NFC this year.
I agree, and that's an AFC-NFC game. You like the Raiders there. We'll have picks coming up. We still have more to get to, including the great Greg Papa will join us as he gets us ready for the home opener as we go to break. Again, 1-800-920-1140, 1-800-920-1140, your chance to win Smashburger as football is back. Win a $50 gift card to Smashburger and enjoy the perfect game day meal and experience. For more information, visit khdk.com. We will take caller number 3 right now at 1-800-920-1140. Greg Papa is next.
Breaking news, the latest happenings with your favorite teams.
You ever wonder about what the heck all these kids are doing on the computers all the time?
Stay up to date with all of it by following us on Instagram and Twitter.
Excuse me, gentlemen, a little update for you.
At Sactown 1140.